Fail 80. Don't hate us. Better late than never, right, Bort?
That's right.
Bort,
coming to you live on a Sunday morning, right before matchups begin.
Technically before Sunday kickoff.
Oh, true.
So you can't hate us. Apologies for my voice. Anyway, I think I'm getting sick. It's rivalry week. Best week of the year, in my opinion. Everybody's going to try, I think. Or is Jeremy committed to the tank? Let me check.
No, Jeremy put his players in. I think he's still only scheduled for something in the 80s, but he's got his guys in there.
Matt does not have his guys in there. So Matt must have a reason to not win this week.
Well, he's playing Jeremy.
For pick purposes, is my guess. Zach Wilson, Cougar Hunter, a.k.a. Texas Dan, has a full lineup. However, it is a bye week from hell, I think. Or no, he's just not starting as good players. He's only projected for 43. Why? Why isn't he starting his players? He doesn't own his pick. Odell's on his bench.
I don't know.
Addison's on his bench. Kenneth Walker's on his bench. Zach Wilson's on his bench. He started Mac Jones, who was did not play. That's an interesting move.
I mean, does it matter? I mean, who does he play? Was he going to be a top half scorer anyways?
No.
Not to be
he,
mean.
He goes up against DFT, who's projected for 122. Dan P was not going to sniff 122 or top 7.
Right.
But however, go ahead.
I'm wondering if the Matt versus Jeremy has anything to do with Jeremy rewarding Matt for taking down Ben.
Ooh.
Wasn't it Matt that beat Ben?
Matt did meet Ben.
Matt could have tanked, put in his full roster,
yeah,
got 3 victory points, kind of kicked him out of the top 3, and you know, Jeremy already owns Sam's pick, so he's already locked at 102.
Yeah, he is.
Maybe just throw him. But again, it doesn't matter. It's top half only, so it's only for the mug.
And we only really are curious about matchups that are going to be close, which are
right.
You versus Knute, Eli right. and Sam, because Hunter Henry went crazy and had 20 and a half points when he was projected for 7.
So basically, Hunter Henry has almost knocked
flipped
you into waffles.
Yes, I am. I am now entrenched fully. I would say the ESPN percent chance that I oust Sam and get top 7 and beat him and overtake him in points is like I'm probably 99.6% likely to have waffles.
Yeah.
So that sucks. That blows. I have accepted it though already. It is what it is. I'm going to do it the exact same way as before. Show up super early. At like 4, like start at 4 in the morning. And I think I'm going to do it on a weekday. Again, so it's like a normal crowd. I don't want it to be super busy. I just want to be able to sit off in the corner by myself.
And you don't feel like you're holding, like, you're not holding up a table then either.
Exactly. And I know how long it's going to take, so I can actually prepare for what will inevitably be close to 14 hours in, because I cannot eat. I cannot go 12 for 12. I tried that last April. It did not work. So I can't do 12 for 12. I need to give myself more time. So I think if I remember correctly, I started before 5, or maybe right at 5, and I finished close to 5:15 or 5:30.
I thought you were close to 12 for 12 if you did.
So I was technically 12 and a half by 11 and a half. Like I spent 12 and a half hours doing the challenge. So I know how long it'll take, but it still is not going to be fun at all. Anyway, The matchups that, so Sam, now because of Hunter Henry, you're right. Not only is top seven, but is slated to beat Eli, which would be that means he would get the mug, because I think Eli beat Sam last year. Or maybe Sam has it. I'm not sure. Who, I think Eli sent a picture in the chat this morning.
Yeah, I think Eli has the mug.
Okay. So Eli's now a 10-point or 8-point dog to Sam. That'll be close. Chris and Mark, for some reason, may be close, even though Sam is, or Chris is projected over, or projected to beat him by 21, 142 to 121.
The thing with Mark is, if you don't know his team, Henry keeps getting projected for 10, 11, 11. And then it's either he blows the projection out of the water, either in a good way or a bad way. It's either 2, mm-hmm. 5, 20, 25. Like, he's never really around that projection. So it's all going to depend on which Derrick Henry you get. And Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen, I mean, he's been having the year of his life. So what Keenan Allen are you going to get? I mean, they've both got just boom players. And then Evan Engram, he loves having C.J. Beathard, or should we call him C.J. Beat Waffles, in at quarterback. He really seems to like Evan Engram.
Trevor Lawrence is starting today.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Still, I think the concept applies, is that they are not going to let Trevor Lawrence hold the ball for very long.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to have him take 5 to 7 step drops.
And he can't scramble. I mean,
you're not going to design anything for him to scramble. That's for damn sure.
Right. But yeah, this should be fun. You know, I know. Yeah. Like you said, he's projected to beat him by 20, but
A-Chain's in. A-Chain is active.
And is A-Chain going to go for 5 or 50? Like, that's the.
Kittle is playing, and I think Kittle is always a boom potential at tight end. He can go for 95 yards and 2 touchdowns, or 150 and 1 touchdown any week. It just depends on factors in San Francisco, who's going to get the ball, because not everybody eats every week. But if it's a Kittle week, look out.
Well, they're playing Seattle, so. Seattle's got a pretty good defense.
I think. We always think that, but I don't know if that's true.
They've got good corners. They've got two good corners.
The Cowboys put up 40, or Seahawks put up 35 on them. And the Seahawks don't have a great offense. Or no, wait. Yeah. The Cowboys put up 38 in a win on the Seahawks.
But the Seahawks also put up 30-some on the Cowboys.
Yeah. I'm still gonna take Chris to keep the mug. To be honest, I think Chris might be secretly in your shoes. I don't know if we've seen the mug from Chris's perspective yet in chat at all. We don't know if it exists.
Yeah, I know. I finally got the stickers on it.
Looks great
this year, and I am a little bit nervous because right now I'm a. What, 6-point dog to Knut?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've already got one player done.
Yeah. Well, Freiermuth went pretty much right at his projection.
Yeah, he did.
But, I mean, Knut's got a lot of those guys, too, like Laporta, Olave. Both of those guys can go for big numbers. Jacoby Myers.
Yeah.
You know, you just never know what his team is going to do. And then, obviously, not having a second quarterback this week really hurts me. I think having bye weeks in week 14 is so stupid.
It's the last week for bye weeks. I know I'm suffering from that. You are, too, because you can't take Howell and put him in your super flex.
Yeah.
That's a huge swing for you.
Yes, well, especially because, Howell's been QB4 on the year. I could definitely use a QB4 in my Superflex to
You're not
take
having
on
to
Knut.
And you're not having to start Tajay
Thielen or
Spears.
yeah, or Adam Thielen or Hopkins.
No, it would be Tajay Spears. You would start Thielen and Hopkins probably.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, that's tough. You need a Tajay Spears vulture touchdown.
Badly.
Badly. But one thing, Knute, CJ Stroud goes up against the Jets.
Ooh. That's going to be tough. Especially with no Tank Dell.
Yeah. That's tough.
Like, don't get me wrong, Nico Collins is, like, this year has been the clear-cut wide receiver one in Houston. But when a defense can lock in on that one guy,
right?
And I just don't think, as much as Kamish tried so hard to say, was that Noah Brown was just going to fill right in. Noah Brown is just not that guy.
Noah Brown is not that guy. John Mechie is not that guy. Dalton Schultz
we
is a
don't
tight.
Know.
Is it?
We don't know
Dalton
about
Schultz.
John Mechie.
We do. We know about John Mechie. He's on my team. Of course we know about John Mechie.
I mean, he had cancer.
Yeah, F cancer.
You should play him this week.
Absolutely not. I'm going out with dignity. I don't know what that means exactly, but I'm trying my best.
It's like
I think,
it's like, but it's the homecoming game where you put the team manager in, let him try and play, and then he ends up scoring like 15 points. That's what you should do with John Mechie.
So, hey, we'll see. What helps with you is I think you love Dak versus Philly tonight. You love Dak versus Philly.
He's got revenge on his mind.
It's at home. They're great at home. I think it's going to be a track meet.
Yep.
And I think if anything, it's going to be a one-sided track meet. If a team blows out another, it's going to be the Cowboys blowing out Philly.
And the thing
I don't
with
think
the
Philly
Cowboys,
is capable. I don't think Philly is capable of blowing out a team on the road.
Well, especially not a team as high of a caliber
not
as
by,
the Cowboys.
Not
have
by
been
double
this
digits.
Year.
No.
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 And the thing is, the Cowboys are not going to let off the gas against Philly. If they're up by 21 in the
they're playing their
CD's still in the game. They're still throwing the ball. They're still throwing the ball too.
Yeah. I agree. Versus, I don't know if CJ can get it going at the Jets to the extent that Dak could. So I think there could be a pretty big scoring gap there. You need Chase to get his and then some, and Dak to get his and then some, and Puka to get his and then some. Like, you need your studs to have a day. Because if it's pedestrian
100%.
Versus pedestrian, there's more depth. Like, if it's average versus average, there's more depth on Knute's roster and or starting lineup, I think. But
yes, I would agree with you.
Ben's gonna beat me. He's beating me by 50. This is ugly. That's tough.
Yeah, that's
Jonathan's.
No point, no.
Jonathan's damn near doubling up, which I love. Okay, I love Jonathan and Josh's Canes bet, which is actually double. So it's $20. And it's only valid if Jonathan doubles up Josh's score or Josh beats Jonathan straight up. And it's void for any other outcome.
I like that. It's fun.
I think that's super fun in my opinion.
Because it's gonna take a lot for Josh to win. But I think it's still gonna take a lot for Kamish to double him up.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, he has to Josh, in my opinion, this week, let me look at this again. Has to well, I mean
I mean it's
Kamish
pretty
has
damn
to score
close.
150 and Josh has to stay under 75.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I have a feeling that Josh's team could – I mean, they've got Will Levis at 13.5. And I know that he struggled a little bit. But if he could put it together like what he did in Week 8 versus Atlanta, just come out slinging it, Miami doesn't have that great of a defense. So there is a good opportunity for Levis to score more than 13 points. And he's already projected at 70. So if he puts up 75, Kamish still needs to score 150.
With no quarterback in his super flex, because Kyler's on a bye.
But we've seen him do this. I mean, DJ Moore, the last couple weeks since Fields came back, has been putting up quarterback numbers, 22, 23. Mm-hmm. And Kyren Williams, like, Jesus, I wish he would slow down a little bit. You know, I mean, he's shown that he doesn't even need a quarterback, which is sad. No.
Yeah, that's pretty. And he went out and got a quarterback.
Right. So come playoffs time.
Good night. Good night.
Yeah.
Not to mention Tyreek Hill on his in his lineup, who is
And Christian McCaffrey.
I think Tyreek and Christian McCaffrey are both respectively running back and wide receiver overall. I know that for a fact.
Both of them could go for 30 this week.
Yeah. Tyreek is the highest scoring player in fantasy football.
Above quarterbacks, too?
Oh, no, not any longer. You know, guess who has him beat?
Is it a quarterback?
In total points, it is a quarterback.
Josh Allen.
Yep. By 1.3 points.
Wow.
Otherwise, it's Tyreek. So Josh Allen has 321.9. Tyreek has 320.6. Jalen Hurts.
Boy, I'm glad I traded him.
Jalen Hurts with 312. Glad you traded him too. And then Dak Prescott, your guy, 290 after that. So Tyreek Hill has Jalen by 8 points and Dak by 30, which is crazy.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
That is insane.
This is the best season we've ever seen in a receiver. And we just said that about Cooper Kupp and Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, because I think he only needs to average like a little over 100 yards a game for the rest of the season to hit 2,000.
Yes.
I really hope he gets it. I really do.
I'm totaling up his touchdowns as well, just to see where he is. Randy Moss's 25.
Like, what is the point gap between Tyreek and Keenan? Well, it's Keenan Allen.
And wide receiver two?
Keenan Allen's wide receiver two. And it's a 50-point differential.
50!
What's even better is that he's got Christian McCaffrey, RB1. Guess what the difference between RB1, Christian McCaffrey, and RB2, Raheem Mostert is?
50.
70.
He's insane. What did he trade to get McCaffrey? I can't imagine it was that much. Was it a few firsts?
So
clearly not to Sam, because Sam doesn't have anything.
Yeah, he got him from Sam. So he traded he got Christian McCaffrey and Sam's 26th fourth round pick. And what he gave up was Terry McLaurin, Javonte Williams.
Oh my God.
Tucker Kraft.
Oh no.
And he gave Sam his 26th second back.
No, Chris's.
This says 26 second S A M.
Oh. Anyway, doesn't matter. 26 second, irrelevant. That's crazy.
Right.
And that was before training camp this year. Oh boy.
Let's see. That trade was made August 2nd.
Yeah, that's a bad beat.
Sam only gave up one first round pick to get Christian McCaffrey. I mean, one first, but then he gave up 3 seconds in the third, but I think Christian McCaffrey was hurt.
So anyway, that's a little bit of Jonathan talk. Newer segment on the pod, I guess, with his ascension. But don't sleep on Chris, 142, like Chris's team in the playoffs. Who knows? If Lamar and Patty and Raheem Mostert, running back 2, Keenan Allen, wide receiver 2, and Mike Evans, DK, and Jalen Waddle, like, right. He's assembled a team that is a formidable opponent in the playoffs. And I'm putting your team as well up there as a formidable team in the playoffs. I think there's a core four, and it's you, it's Ben, it's Jonathan, and Chris. And Jonathan leads that pack of core four. So it's a 1A and then 1B with 3 of y'all. And then DFT and Eli and Mark.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see, like, if the league lives on, which I think it will. I think unless something bad happens, I think Kamish is going to win this year. So if the league lives on, I'll be curious to see, what the teams look like.
So your take, we're putting this out there. Your take is your pre-playoff opinion. You're putting your Bort report stamp of approval on is Kamish to win it.
Yeah, I think he's going to get the first round bye. I think that I'm just going to put it out there. I think it's going to be so me versus Dan. I think I'm going to beat Dan. And then it's going to be Ben versus Eli. I think Ben is going to win that. Mm-hmm. And then I think Chris beats Knut, which then leaves me at the bottom. So I think I take down Ben.
Okay.
I think I'm going to be the one to take down Ben.
Okay. I can see it.
I'm putting it out there in the universe.
Yeah, I can see it, my boy. I can see it. And Jonathan reaps the benefit of the number one seed and only having to play 2 matchups.
Yeah, and getting to avoid. I mean, honestly, I think Eli is going to be a really sneaky team, too. I think his matchup will be really interesting, depending on if he's facing Ben or Chris. I think if I'm Ben or Chris, I don't really want to face Eli.
No.
So, like, if I'm Chris, I may be even thinking about, trying not to outscore Ben this week, because I think Ben holds the tiebreaker by a few points. But, okay. Yeah, regardless, it's going to be a fun week to kind of see how things shake out for the playoffs. And the playoffs are going to be super fun. I'm still a little bit nervous that Ben does repeat, but I'm glad that he does not have the first round bye and he has to play, honestly, a team like Knut and a team like Eli. Both of those teams can beat any team.
Are upset
in
alerts.
My opinion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they feel like a 5-12 matchup in
right.
March Madness. A 12 seed, man, depending on the team. 12 seeds are dangerous first, second round.
Yep.
They're exactly. Big, they're not favorites to win it. Like, I'm not taking Knut to win it, but Knut can win a playoff game and make a second playoff game very scary, if not win that one. So yeah, I think you're on to something there. I'm thinking, like, I have to put it into a percentage. I'm saying 40% worried that Ben wins it, 60% the field. I think the path to a championship matchup is more likely probably 50-50, but I don't know if Ben can. I don't know if Ben's team is winning three in a row with Tua and Dobbs.
Was it Ben that lost to Chris by like 0.2 points in the championship?
No, Jonathan, you're not getting away with this. It was Jonathan. He lost to Chris by 0.02.
Because I thought like when Chris ended the league, I thought it was versus Ben. And we were watching Davante Adams versus the Vikings.
We needed Davante. That was a very close margin of loss too. I'm not sure what that was. No, I noticed
it was less than a point.
Margin of loss rather than margin of victory. I view that as a loss for Ben rather than just I've wiped it from my memory that Chris even won that and ended that league. It was just so sad to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best
good job, Chris.
Matchup. I think the best matchup is obviously Kamish versus Ben. I think they've been the two biggest powerhouses. I just don't even want to see Ben in the championship.
Neither do I. Because if Ben's in the championship, I'm scared. Like then I'm thinking an AJ Brown blow up game and a CD Brown blow up game. If he beat you and doesn't have to worry about Dak, and he can just say, hey, throw to CD as much as you want. Like, dude, he's got a trio. He's got a trio with Ayuk where it is horrifying.
Yeah, Ayuk, Lamb, and Brown are it's insane.
And then even a potential playoff matchup, championship matchup of McBride siphoning points from Kyler Murray, because he's going to start McBride at tight end. And so if Kyler's going to pass and throw for two touchdowns, but one of them is going to be to McBride.
Shit.
That matchup is tough because Jonathan doesn't have a tight end that scares anybody. So even that position matchup, and then you're going to probably lose your one-on-one matchup with Tyreek, but you have, again, that three-headed monster. And two to Tyreek at least lessens some of that blow. I don't know. Like it's like we're getting to that point in the season now where we get to think and endlessly speculate on matchups like this. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the playoffs. I don't know if I can pick a favorite and put it out there right now.
You have to pick one right now. Who is your favorite going into rivalry week? We'll do another playoff.
Favorite going in,
go through matchups, but who's your favorite today?
I think because as of this moment, 11:46 a.m. on 12/10, 2023, Fail has yet to see the Dobbs and Justin Jefferson connection be attempted. And so I'm not saying Josh Dobbs takes a step or a leap or anything, but if there is schemed touches for Justin Jefferson, I think by default that raises a little bit of Dobbs's floor. And then if we get a couple good games where he's rolling out of the pocket and being able to extend plays, and Addison's there and Hawkinson's also there, and things start to click a little bit with whatever that looks like. My favorite is Ben. Without having seen what the Vikings are with JJ and Dobbs and company, for better or for worse, I'm still taking Ben. He ended it last year with a team that made it in on points and was the last seed in, and he ended it.
And I think exactly what you just said. If there were a floor of any player in the playoffs, if there were a player that were able to have a floor raised, it would be Josh Dobbs, because I don't think there's another player out there that's getting, like, another quarterback out there that is getting quite possibly a top three best wide receiver,
the best player arsenal. In football, the best player in football. I will say it. JJ, when healthy, is the best player in football. And I'm so biased and I don't care, but he's the best. So
You're adding like, the best so wide fun. Receiver in the NFL to Josh Dobbs. I mean, hypothetically, if there's any, like, if you're going to view Josh Dobbs in any category, it's going to have to be this week because he's getting the best wide receiver in the NFL to throw the ball to. So if he can't make it work this week, that's tough for Ben.
That's tough for Ben. That's tough for Ben. And if it does pan out to some extent, Justin being in,
that's tough for the league.
it doesn't benefit any playoff team except for Ben.
Nope.
Right. Because Addison is on a non-playoff team. Hawkinson is on Eli's team,
but I think it hurts
Hawkinson. So
it's only a
positive for Ben.
I mean, Dobbs,
because he's still going to start Dobbs in his super flex.
Dobbs coming in is one of the quarterbacks when targeting tight end. He targets the tight end at a higher rate than almost any other quarterback in the NFL. Even higher than Patrick Mahomes, I think, when we traded for him.
Wow.
So maybe JJ coming back, you know, taking some of the eyeballs away from Hawkinson might be a good thing for Eli. Who knows? Opens the field up a little bit, but
we've yet to see it.
Right.
I'm excited to watch.
In 10 minutes. Wait, no, we play at 3 today, don't we?
Play at 3. 3:25, I think. Get the early slate of games out of the way. That's it, I think, for me. The other matchups, I don't want to say they're settled because we haven't started, and I want to give teams the benefit of the doubt, except for Matt. He's tanking, or he's losing. So, Jeremy, congrats on keeping the mug, I think.
Yep.
DFT will win. Congrats on keeping the mug. Other than that, Jonathan, I will say congrats on keeping the mug. And Ben, congrats on keeping the mug. Damn it. Hate Canute, saying that. That sucks.
Canute, good luck.
GG, Canute.
GG's, buddy.
All right.
All right.
Adios.
Good luck, everyone.
Happy rivalry week. Bye.